Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 372. As this week, we bring you the first hour of WCW Halloween Havoc 1992. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. As you know, my co-host Jim Valley is on extended medical leave. Filling in for him this week is the charming Sarah Knight, formerly of Pro Wrestling Torch. Unless you're still writing for the Torch, are you?
I don't know. If there's another season of Miz and Mrs., I might. I'm not watching Miz on Dancing with the Stars. That is
what
not
about what about Cody and Brandi Rhodes on Roads to the Top?
Oh, good God. I have to go to bed when that comes on.
Sarah, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, head to 1992, spin the wheel, and make the deal?
Maybe. I don't know. I saw some of the things on that wheel. I'm not really sure if I want to do them.
Well, okay. Well, fortunately, we're not doing them. Sting and Jake Roberts are doing them.
They did bring anti-venom, Pat. That will be announced.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. I almost forgot. Listeners, stay with us for a minute. Sarah, did you watch the video to hype this show? the music, the like mini movie they made?
No, I did not.
Okay, we probably have to do that like right from the start here. So I'm going to go to YouTube. Okay, here we go. Yeah, I know it's on the show somewhere, but I mean, we can't really judge this show without the mini movie. So and while we're looking for the mini movie on YouTube, I'm going to point out that this past, thanks to John Paz for doing the last few shows, the Taboo Tuesday 2004. And as a result of John's help, this week we're back. Apple's number 90, the 98th most listened to wrestling podcast in Canada this week. Apple Podcast. Thank you very much for that. That's not a joke, Sarah.
I would have to put in 1992 because this might give me a mini movie for 1989, wouldn't it?
93 actually is when the other time they did the mini movies, but I'm just going to put in Halloween Havoc 92 and.
Is it Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal mini movie?
Yes. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, just get there and we'll talk about that. Yes. Also, like to thank the good free-loving people of Australia. We're up again in the Australian charts. But the big news, Sarah, and I know you're going to be excited about this. Last week's show, we were the 1127th most listened to podcast in the nation of India. Okay. How and why, I have no idea. But I'm told that there are wrestling fans in India. Yes, and they were very excited, and they were probably more excited about Triple H and Shawn Michaels than I was. So thank you, India. Thank you, and thank you very much to everybody who listens all over the world, outside the United States for a lot of reasons. But okay, now we're going to find the Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal vignette. Here we go. I'm on Jake Roberts and Sting, Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal vignette, 0 minutes and 0 seconds. Okay?
Okay, well, I have Jesse Ventura and Jim Ross here.
Oh. Okay, well, we got to get to
the picture of. Is it supposed to be? Okay, the one underneath of it. Gotcha. All right.
Hold on. For some reason, I gotta skip the ads for HBO Max. Oh, there we go. Okay, so I'm back. Yeah, the full moon's going to be out at the start of the video. Okay?
Yep. All right.
Are you at the still shot of the full moon? Okay. All right. Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal vignette on YouTube. Everybody, we're going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Now, Eric Bischoff gets blamed for these, but Bill Watts was in charge when they came up with this. So I think Bill Watts, as the boss, deserves the blame for this. This is getting you ready for Halloween Havoc and Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal. So this woman who looks a little like Medusa but is not is going to crawl into a trapdoor and head down to a club. This is not Lucha Underground. No, this is 1992. See, everything could be explained if it was just Lucha Underground. Oh, and they have a giant. Oh, look, see?
They have a giant snake with a weird thing. You know, I think I have seen this video before.
Yes, but we want our listeners to see this.
I believe it was on Are You Serious?
Yep, that's right.
The puppet show on WWE.
Jake Roberts with Puppet H, yes. Remember that well. Because all the extras are.
That woman was very excited about making the deal.
And that is Cheatham the Midget, by the way. He got a name in the subsequent stupid videos. They named him. Because he was the one who was in all the videos.
Hannibal Lecter here doesn't look really excited to be in this video.
Looks like young CM Punk in a mask is what it looks like. What about this? Jake's like, nah. We shot Jake Roberts off in a corner somewhere, and he just made little hand motions, and that's all that happened.
He's apparently better lit than everybody else in this video.
Oh, yes. See, Jake's facial expressions are good. That's why we need him for this. Plus, he's in the match, so. We'll make.
And this is when he had all of his hair. Yeah.
There's a bar somewhere around Atlanta that's like in a trap door, and all it is a bunch of people in leather suits, leather jackets, sitting around chanting, spin the wheel, make the deal. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Ooh. Chelsea, there you go.
These people are Sting. All very excited for Sting, except for Jake Roberts, who was amused by this.
Sting, we don't get many guys in this club with Vanilla Ice outfits.
Yeah, I'm here, so what's the deal?
Yeah. Start in Baltimore.
How does Sting do this with a straight face?
Sting is a professional.
Does Sting just not think that a lot of stuff is funny, incidentally?
Well, I mean, he's good. He can keep a straight face. I'm impressed by that. I mean, I would have had to take like 30 or 40 takes to do this. And it's like, cut the crap, Jake.
You have to come over there and kick
Ding. Well, how did Jake keep a straight face, though?
Well, this was Jake's thing, though.
Yes. This was written, by the way, by the same people who used to write Bray Wyatt's promos.
Just random series of weird words.
How about it? That explains how the wheel works. See, there's a wheel, and there's 12 different match stipulations on it.
And the midget has another part.
And it's brutal, brutal.
Barbed wire match, death match.
It's a mystery match. Ooh, that's even spookier.
The deal is, man, you gotta step up and spin that wheel.
Once you spin it, it's not. Right. So this is what would happen if, like, Jake Roberts was in charge of. What is that show that Bob Barker used to host?
Price is Right.
Yeah, Price is Right, because I really wanted to call it Wheel of Fortune, and that was not correct.
He's not afraid of Jake Roberts. Well, that's because he's never shared a room with him at a Quality Inn, but that's probably.
Sting would have probably gotten him to pee in the trash can at the very least.
Sting's good that way, yeah. You're going to need it. Ha, 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 ha. Spin the wheel, make the deal. Come on.
That woman still isn't very excited about this.
Well, that's Sandra Bernhardt. No, she's not excited. I'm kidding. It's not Sandra Bernhardt. Sorry, Sandra. Sandra was asking for too much money to be in this video.
It seems like he could have just spun the wheel with his hand instead of that weird scepter thing. Okay.
Yes, the laser in the eyes. To be continued.
Laser eyes.
Yes, they have this serious video, and then you do the laser eyes. And you have announcer voice coming in just in case anybody was taking this halfway seriously. Yeah.
Somewhere there was probably like a 9-year-old kid who was hoping there was a version of this that actually ended in showing what the match was going to be.
Yeah, but we know that wasn't going to happen. Okay, now back to the Peacock here. Let's okay, now that everybody is hyped about this, while we're loading the Peacock back up, let's talk about this is Sunday, October 25th, 1992. WCW is at the Philadelphia Civic Center, where they have drawn 7,000 people. According to the Observer, about 5,000 of those people were actually bought tickets, which is good. It's good because this was WCW's biggest crowd of 1992, like in terms of paid customers.
Oh, wow.
I'm not kidding. You know, or if it wasn't, it was pretty close to it. And
they have Sting and somebody else?
Sting and Jake Roberts, yeah. Well, Lex Luger had jumped to the World Bodybuilding Federation, and I wish I was making that up, but I'm not. That's a story for another time.
That seems bizarre.
Yeah, well, but because Vince owned the World Bodybuilding Federation, it was like, well, you know, and Lex had a non-compete, but, you know, bodybuilding is not the same as wrestling.
I know.
Right, okay. All right, so according to the History of WWE website, a young Brian Heffron, a.k.a. the Blue Meanie, and a young Dave Lagana, former WWE writer, were in attendance. And as we discussed before the show, there was a dark match. They put out a match before the cameras came on to get the fans hyped about the show. And what was important is that the people in the dark match got paid you know, which is kind of important, getting paid for
with Vinny Vegas and Diamond Dallas Page.
Yes, the team of Vinny, the Vegas connection of Vinny Vegas and Diamond Dallas Page, lost to Van Hammer and Eric Watts, who is the son of Booker Bill Watts. Yes, so
who will appear on the show later?
Bill Watts. Oh yes, the odds of Bill Watts not appearing on a show that Bill Watts is in charge of are about -12 out of 0 out of 100. Okay. Somebody texted me. Oh, one of my former coworkers is texting me. Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Hopefully they don't need an email address for
us. Hopefully they don't need a job reference. I mean, you know. Okay. But no, yeah. I'm just kidding. I'm doing a podcast. Don't these people understand I'm doing a podcast?
No, the telemarketers don't understand that.
They never understand
that either.
Okay. Now, the previous WCW show was Friday night, October the 23rd. That took place in Cleveland at the Cleveland Convocation Center. I'll tell you what was on the show, and then I'll tell you the attendance. What was on the show? The NWA World Champion Masahiro Chono defeated Bobby Eaton. And the main event, it was a six-man elimination match. It was the team of Rick Rude, Cactus Jack, and Jake Roberts beating the team of Sting, Ricky Steamboat, and Dustin Rhodes in an elimination match. So the attendance, 800. Nice.
Wow.
WCW doing great, by the way. Meanwhile,
this is how ECW came into existence around this time.
Well, actually, we'll talk about that in a bit. The WWF ran two shows on Sunday, October 25th. The A show was in beautiful Peoria, Illinois. On that show, it was scheduled to be headlined by the Ultimate Warrior taking on Ric Flair. But Ric Flair was out due to an inner ear injury caused by a wayward punch from the Ultimate Warrior. So
what a surprise.
I know, you're stunned. So on that show,
Warrior was such a safe worker.
The suitable substitute for Ric Flair was, of course, Kamala. So the Ultimate Warrior beats Kamala. And in the revised main event, the WWF champion, Bret the Hitman Hart, defeats Rick Martel. The B show is in Columbia, Missouri, in front of 2,500 people, on which Razor Ramon defeats Randy Savage by countout. And in what was the last match on the show, the Intercontinental Champion, Davey Boy Smith, defeats Papa Shango. Now, if you want to know what other great wrestling promotions are going on in America at this point, you remember the Global Wrestling Federation and people on Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. I'll mention that briefly. If you're on our Patreon, you've been following along. John Paz and I did a special bonus watch along with the Global Wrestling Federation. This was on ESPN in the afternoons, and it was run out of Dallas, Texas. So the Sportatorium, they ran their Friday night show at the Sportatorium, 2,725 in attendance. Almost none of them were paying customers, by the way. On that show, it was Mike Dahl defeating Alex Porteau for the light heavyweight title, for the GWF light heavyweight title. And in the main event, the Rough Riders, Black Bart and Johnny Mantell, defeated the Ebony Experience of Booker T and Stevie Ray for the GWF tag team titles. Now, it's explained that the reason Alex Porteau lost his title and Booker and Stevie Ray lost their titles is they're going off on a tour of Japan, so they'll be gone for a couple of weeks, so somebody else needs to defend the titles while they're gone. Okay. You asked about ECW.
Yep.
Okay, so we're at the beginnings of ECW. Todd Gordon is running Eastern Championship Wrestling at the Chestnut Cabaret in Philadelphia on Saturday, October 24th, in front of 225 people. And that taping was actually on Hidden Gems at one point back when there was a WWE network. If you're outside the U.S., you can still watch it on Hidden Gems. On that show, it was you remember Ivan Koloff, former WWF champion?
Yes, I do.
A million years old, yes. He lost a Russian chain match to Tommy Cairo. Real ECW fans know who Tommy Cairo is. Tommy Cairo, pay your bills. Yes. And in the main event, the ECW champion, the magnificent Don Morocco, beat Jimmy Snuka with Morocco's feet on the ropes. So after the match, Jimmy Snuka turns heel. He attacks Commissioner Todd Gordon, the ring announcer, the timekeeper, and any of the jobbers who come out trying to save Todd Gordon. So Jimmy Snuka's a bad guy. This all sets up next month's ECW show, where Don Morocco is scheduled to defend the ECW title against a local wrestler named, wait for it, Mr. Sandman. Not the Sandman. Mr. Sandman. Mr. Sandman. Yes.
I don't think that quite worked out.
Well, the guy stuck around. The guy stuck it out, apparently. So.
Well, yeah, he did. I don't think that.
If he persevered, I'm happy for him. Smoky Mountain Wrestling is a thing. Yes. Jim Cornette's Smoky Mountain Wrestling is running in Johnson City, Tennessee.
Jim Cornette wasn't on the show with Beautiful Bobby.
Now, Jim Cornette Jim Cornette and Stan Lane had quit WCW the previous year and went off to start Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So Johnson City, Tennessee, a whopping 300 people turn out to see the Smoky Mountain Wrestling champion, the dirty white boy Tony Anthony, finding to a double count out with Tim Horner. And if you know anything about Jim Cornette and his podcast, Jim Cornette loves him some Tim Horner and has lots of Tim Horner stories. Meanwhile, in the main event, a non-title match, the Rock and Roll Express defeat the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, the Heavenly Bodies. So pretty much like every other Smoky Mountain show. I think that's it for all the excitement going on the American pro wrestling scene at that point. Okay. Oh, and the pro wrestling news from the newsletters gathered for this time going into Halloween Havoc. The New York Daily News reports that Sid Vicious is on his way to WCW after being let go by the WWF, and Sid will be in WCW about 6 or 7 months from now when they finally sign him.
But
he does not. He does not appear on Halloween Havoc as predicted by the New York Daily News.
No.
As we mentioned briefly, Ric Flair was thought to have a career-ending injury after getting getting punched in the head by the Ultimate Warrior on October 8th in Phoenix. Doctors thought he had sustained severe inner ear damage. It turned out that he had calcium deposits in his inner ear, which, according to Meltzer, is called something called cupliathiasis or something like that. Anyway, Flair is going to be out 6 to 12 weeks, which of course means he's going to be wrestling at the Survivor Series in under a month. Okay, makes sense. Oh, and CNN, because WCW is owned by Turner, Turner opened up a studio so that Jake Roberts could do radio and TV interviews via satellite. So back in those days, if you had a satellite, you could pretty much watch anything that was up on satellite. So Jake got there like an hour early, and you could see Jake sitting in front of a chair on satellite talking to the people around him for an hour before before any of the interviews started. And people watching could hear Jake dropping F-bombs, drinking coffee, complaining that he wasn't allowed to smoke cigarettes in the studio, and bitching about the lack of health insurance in WCW. And that's on YouTube. The whole 2 hours is on YouTube. Look for it. I'm serious.
We all want health insurance, Pat.
Yeah, well, and it continues, yes, but there you go. All right, so that's the news. We're going to take a moment here for this brief timeout. And while we're doing the timeout, Sarah and I might as well do the commercial. You know, Sarah, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback, where we have every episode of Wayback Playback. We're up to episode 372 now, including other episodes with Sarah on them. Congratulations, people. Yes, now.
You can find all two of those.
Yes, well, I think there were more than two of those. But, one of the best parts about it is that not only do you get all the episodes, including the episodes that are behind a paywall, which you can't get to any other way, which we made a deal with Pro Wrestling Torch to get those. And thank you to Wade Keller, and subscribe to Wade Keller's site. And love yourself some Pro Wrestling Torch, by the way. Besides all that, you get the episodes in advance of when they go up on the podcast feed, and you get them without any commercials on them, which
unlike
I don't like.
My Peacock subscription.
Unlike your Peacocks, because, well, I paid for the full Peacock, so.
My Peacock came free with my really expensive Comcast.
Okay, that makes sense then. Yeah. Well, Comcast and Peacock, I mean, Comcast owns Peacock. They're owned by the same company, so that makes sense. Okay. Yeah, and that's great. But
so when it stops working in the middle of the video, we'll know.
Right. Well, we'll hit pause when that happens. But that's the deal. You get all that, plus you get bonus watch-alongs, like the one I did with John Paz, which is an hour of Global Wrestling Federation. That's up. That's a full watch along. Jim Valley and I have some bonuses up, including the Pro Wrestling USA show from February 1985, the Japanese feed from that. We did that, stuff that's on YouTube. Sarah and I are going to hopefully finish one after we get done here. We're going to finish that episode of Primetime Wrestling, which was so thrilling that we started together back in the day. And
you can remind me what it is.
What's that? Oh, yes. Actually, the main event for that, that we have two more matches to cover, the last of which is, get ready for this, Raymond Rougeau versus Bret Hart.
Ooh.
Yes. Surprisingly not awful, I know. So yeah, check that out. That's all on patreon.com/waybackplayback. There's multiple tiers to subscribe to. But with any, no matter what your subscription is, you get the archives. You get all 372 episodes, which is neat, which we thank you for subscribing. And this helps keep the show going, which we really need right now. So thank you. I thank you. Jim Valley thanks you. Sarah even thanks you, even though she doesn't know why she's thanking you. But
thank you
for being a part of the Wayback Playback experience. And thank you for listening to the show. And we're back. So we're at 0 minutes and 0 seconds, right? Mm-hmm. Halloween Havoc on Peacock. And I've got a blank screen, and Sarah has a blank screen. I think we've actually, I'm at 1 second. I don't think I was allowed to stop at 0 seconds.
Oh, I'm at zero.
All right. So, okay. Well, you'll hit play, and then I'll hit play a second after you. But the important thing is that we all hit play together in 3, 2, 1, go. Okay. And here we are. And we're going to get a full moon. We need a full moon. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
For the haunted house. Yes. And Sting howling at the moon.
Yes. Which we just watched in that little video there.
Ha, 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 ha. I'm Jake Roberts. And the ghost of Ron Simmons.
Is Ron Simmons on the show?
Yes, he is. And the ghost of the Barbarian. He's on the show. And the ghost of Masaccio on the show also. And Rick Rude. Yeah, all these people are on the show, actually. So there's a rare moment of truth in advertising. And here we go. There's people in the building. And we're in Philadelphia. What could be better? Okay. All right. Yay, there's Gary Michael Capetta in the ring. Hi, Gary. And there he is, that smiling Tony Schiavone.
Tony Schiavone and Bruno Sammartino are really far away from the ring.
And well, that's good because it keeps Bruno from seeing what's going on in the ring, so that's probably good. Tony, great to be here. I am very excited about being at the Halloween Havoc and not having to see that smarmy Vince McMahon. He's a real bastard. Thank you, Bruno.
Tony Schiavone was so young here.
Yes, he was. And he looked so enthusiastic. This is before he had his spirit crushed by about 90 women, I'd say. He was just like, yeah, I'm here. What do you want? Okay, now these are the 12 options that are on the wheel. One of these is Spinner's Choice. So,
How is the Russian chain match? How is that connected to either Rick Rude or in this match, Sting?
That doesn't have to be connected. They're just 12 just of the most dangerous matches. 12 of the most dangerous matches possible are on the wheel. Oh, yes. Okay, so the Barbarian is fighting Ron Simmons. Here's the deal. Bill Watts wanted to do Ron Simmons against Cactus Jack because, you know, Cactus Jack is one of Bill Watts' favorites.
Cactus Jack is wearing the popular poncho shirt of the time. Yes.
That's what makes him a frightening villain. However, Cactus Jack tore an abdominal muscle, I want to say, at the Clash of Champions. So Bill Watts, you know, being Bill Watts, is like, okay, well, we'll have you manage the Barbarian because the Barbarian's part of the same group that you are. And have you at ringside. I was like, okay, that makes sense to me. Now, of course, by the time that they're rolling around to Halloween Havoc, Cactus Jack is back to wrestling anyway, even with a torn abdominal muscle. So there was really no reason to have Cactus not wrestle. Barry Windham and Dustin Rhodes are feuding, and they're the tag team champions. You've never seen this sort of storyline before, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, and Bruno lets it drop. Oh, yeah, Terry Gordy is supposed to be teaming with Steve Williams, but Terry Gordy's not here. Terry is not here because Terry quit and left the building.
Watts will appear later to say that Terry is in violation of his contract. So
by not wrestling, yeah. Yeah. Now, and right, Rick Rude.
Here we introduce Rick Rude having two matches on the show, which, according to the Wikipedia page, does not happen.
No, see, Rick Rude is the U.S. champion, and he's getting a shot at the NWA title. But Bill Watts said, hey, you haven't defended your U.S. title in a while, so we're going to have him. You defend the title on the show. And there are going to be two referees in the NWA title match. Each wrestler gets to pick a referee. That makes all sorts of sense, doesn't it? Well, let's go back to Missy Hyatt. Certainly, if anybody can make sense of this show, it's Missy Hyatt. I'm outside of Rick Rude's locker room. Missy, Missy, what costume are you wearing? Costume? That's how Missy normally dresses.
I'm not sure what this costume is.
We love Missy. Oh, yeah. Now let's go down to Well, I'm still upset with WCW because back in 1992, I ordered a Missy Hyatt calendar from their via the phone number and paid for it, and then the calendar never arrived. So Screw WCW is what I'm saying.
Well, we have Jesse Ventura in costume here, which
that's what he normally wears.
It's a little scarier than when he had the mask on, because I'm not sure what's going on with that hair there. Like, just give up, Jesse. Just give up.
Yeah, wow. What kind of mask are you wearing, Jim Ross? That's scary.
I know.
Yeah.
So mean to Jim Ross, who had not yet had Bell's palsy.
Well, Jesse, that's just the way Jesse is. Well, Jim Ross complained about Jesse because Jesse would work these shows without being the slightest bit prepared for them. And boy, would things change later when he got teamed with Jerry the King Lawler, who would skip production meetings and go out in the malls searching for, looking for love in all the wrong places, I guess.
Yeah.
But the less said about that, the better.
Probably.
Jake says his cobra will be involved. Oh, good. Yeah, Jake the Snake brings a snake with him. Thanks, Jesse, for that.
I believe this is where
there's some anti-cobra venom in the.
This is where Jim Ross introduces the anti-cobra venom.
All right, let's go to the opening match. Thank God. Jerry Michael Capetta's here. Now, remember, this is Philadelphia. What do we know about Philadelphia wrestling fans?
They're notoriously evil.
Yes, thank you. Very good, Sarah. It's time for open. Let's kick things off with a red-hot six-man tag team match. Here come the bad guys.
Michael Hayes is surprisingly thinner than I thought he was going to be.
Oh, a lot thinner, yeah. Bob Beautiful Bobby and Arn Anderson, yeah. He got himself back into shape, somewhat. All right, Bobby.
Bad Street USA, which was weird, too. Why is Arn Anderson introduced from Minnesota when we all kind of know he has a Georgia accent?
Well, because the Anderson
because he lived there for 3 weeks during that gimmick.
Remember, all the Andersons are introduced to being from Minnesota, so why not? Ric Flair grew up in Minnesota, I think. So
I know, but Arn opens his mouth and Minnesota is not what comes out.
Oh yeah. Now it would be funny if Arn did promos with the Minnesota accent, but it wouldn't be. But nobody would believe it.
Have you any ideas, Pat?
What?
That will be another skit with Cody and Arn.
Yeah. All right, now let's meet their opponents, the good guys, the fan favorites, the team of the Z-Man, Johnny Gunn, a.k.a. Tom Brandy, and Shane Douglas.
A.k.a. Salvatore Sincere.
That's right. Very good. A.k.a. the Patriot on many independent shows. I believe
Shane Douglas, who could not have yet cut that ECW promo.
Shane Douglas is a smiling good guy. Look how smiling he is. Formerly one half of the Dynamic Dudes, which he is still upset about, by the way.
What happened to John Laurinaitis?
Well, I believe, isn't he back working for WWE now?
I don't know. I just meant for this match.
Oh, he's in Japan. Yeah.
Oh.
He was in All Japan for a long time. And where he became the favorite kiss ass, the beloved American wrestler there.
Because Johnny Gunn threw me off here. I had no idea who that was.
That's Tom Brady, yes.
Why?
All right.
Yeah.
So the fans, of course, will be cheering for the team they like, which is Michael Hayes, Arn Anderson, and Beautiful Bobby.
And Jesse Ventura will point that out at some point in the match, too.
Because that's what Jesse does. Jesse's helpful that way.
Yes, he is.
Don't point out that the fans aren't cheering for the Z-Man and Tom Brand. Hey! Well, it's kind of hard to miss, Sarah. How slow would you have to be to not notice that the fans are cheering for the bad guys here?
Sorry.
And some of the fans are in costume, and some of the fans are just ugly. I don't know. And there's like future the people who would like be in
the front. The guy with the hat is there.
Yeah, Hat Guy is there. That's like his unofficial name is Hat Guy. Yeah. And Sign Guy and Faith No More Guy will be around somewhere, I guess.
Yeah, Pink Cardigan guy didn't catch on, though.
Yeah, really didn't. If you were a hardcore fan in Philadelphia in 92, there's no way you were going to show up to a WWF show. You wouldn't like it. You'd show up for WCW at the dirty, small Civic Center.
Mm-hmm.
And that super fan guy with the tank top is there. He's like at every WCW pay-per-view in that era. Not Dave Meltzer. Kind of guy who looks like
Dave Meltzer had more hair at that point in time.
Yeah, and a guy who looks kind of like Danny DeVito, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So.
Yeah. Pink cardigan guy, very distracting.
All right, there's beautiful Bobby. So at this point, they're obviously kind of angling to get rid of Paul Heyman, Paulie Dangerously, because Michael Hayes has been brought in just to manage Arn and Bobby, with the story being that he's working for Paul Heyman, and Paul's too busy to manage everybody himself. Yeah. Oh, and here's Jesse. Wow, the fans love beautiful Bobby in Philadelphia. Well, yes, they do.
There's Jesse pointing that out.
Especially the fact that he's not Z-Man.
Yeah, I don't really understand that gimmick.
Yeah.
Like, if they'd given him some things to sell or something, I don't know.
His name is Tom Zink.
I know. It seems like he should have had a vitamin endorsement.
Apparently, Zorro was copyrighted, so Z-Man. Yes, I'm Tom Zink. Yes, I'm the Z-Man.
That still makes sense.
And I know everything about wrestling from A to Zink. There you go. Z-Man for WCW Vitamins. He had Four Horsemen vitamins, but they did not have WCW vitamins.
Hayes is complaining about pulling the tights, too, which is funny. Because he's been pulling his tights up for like the past 5 minutes. He's
wearing a World Bodybuilding Federation t-shirt, which is just funny. Yeah, Michael Hayes has to decide whether he wants to be a wrestler or a broadcaster, like Jesse Ventura did. Actually, Jesse didn't have a choice. He wasn't physically able to wrestle. Yeah. All right, here we go. See, Hayes trying to grab the rat tail or whatever on the back of Shane Douglas.
Shane Douglas has like a full-on mullet pad.
Oh, yeah. Well, grab the mullet, you know, grab the hair. Win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat. That's what Jesse would say. Right?
Yeah, Michael Hayes likes to point out when his babyface opponent is cheating.
Yes, he does. that's what gets you heat. That's what gets you the heat.
That's why the heels are being booed, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, because mostly the heels are getting cheered because they're not morons. I think that usually has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, this is kind of confusing because. Half the heel team is wearing white trunks, and one of the is Shane Douglas on the heel team?
No, he's a good guy. Shane's a good guy.
Yeah, okay, so this is confusing. They should have matched their outfits somehow.
No, because Shane Douglas is going to end up becoming Ricky Steamboat's new tag team partner. Eventually, once they figure out what to do with him, I think they've already kind of figured out that that's the way to go with him. Because Ricky Steamboat really works as a babyface tag team wrestler. That's, you know. I mean, not that Ricky's bad as a babyface. Oh, still to come, by the way, Ricky Steamboat versus Brian Pillman. Hey, there you go.
Oh, and Brian Pillman is so enthusiastic about that match.
Yeah, well, I think Brian has already turned evil. So. Wow. Okay, but I mean, this is wrestling, and you know, this is wrestling, and Doink the Clown's not there, so you know, most of these fans are happy so far.
So far.
Arn Anderson's getting to beat up some chump.
At least he's not doing a Minnesota accent.
Yeah, that's true. Well, especially with Zink being from Minnesota, that would be awkward.
How did Arn Anderson just run into a sleeper?
You can do that.
Randy Orton should not watch this because he does not need to pick up any new way to put a rest hold on himself.
Oh no, Randy's one of the Randy
master of the headlock.
Yeah, well, he did, among the many things Randy Orton does.
Yeah.
Look, Randy Orton's got it all figured out. Okay, he's been in the business for 20 years. I'm not gonna. Yeah. And I just watched him last week in a cage match with Ric Flair, where they solved the whole headlock problem by Flair getting busted open in like the first minute of the match and Orton getting bloodied in like the third minute. So, you know, problem solved. But I mean, a Randy Orton in his matches, you do like 9 minutes of whatever, then Randy hits the RKO. I mean, that's what it was in 2004. Do whatever, and then when you're ready to end it, just hit the RKO. That's it. That's the match. Yep. Oh, I thought Bud was setting up for the abdominal stretch. Oh, nope. And I'm kind of sad that we lost Bobby Eaton, one of the true nice guys in the business.
Michael Hayes recovered from that punch after like 2 seconds there.
a latte. There we go. There you go, Arn. Arn and Bobby were so good together as a tag team. It's kind of sad that they didn't last longer. Arn getting the crowd fired up. It's great, though. Arn's like, okay, cheer for that. Cheer for that. Cheer for that. Okay, we're done.
Nobody's knee pads actually stay on their knees, do they?
Nah. Nah. Well, you're not going to. Well, especially when you're not trying to take bumps. I mean, you know. Why would you bump on your knees? That's no fun. Wrestlers have knee problems to begin with. All right, let's let Hayes do this. Here we go. There we go, right. Michael.
Michael Hayes isn't going to point out that he just pulled that guy's hair, though.
No, he's not. He's got a bit of chin lock. Yeah, and he's like, someday this is going to be a finishing hold. Yeah, if Scott Steiner does it, yeah, it's a finishing hold. See? International spectacle, according to Jesse Ventura.
Yesterday, I went and looked at it.
Ross,
did you?
I sure did, yes.
Very
moving situation.
Great city, Philadelphia is. The president of the NWA is here.
Yay. Jim great. Ross pretending to care about the Liberty Bell for 3 seconds.
Yep. Well, if the Liberty Bell was on the way to a bar, then, you know, it's possible. I mean, something pussy WCW. That's what the sign said, anyway. There was an actual sign up. Yeah. I guess they're going to run and confiscate that one.
They don't have any signs in this audience.
These are grown-ups.
Very dark audience.
Well, they don't believe in... This is WCW in 1992.
They don't believe in lighting.
Joe Watts didn't believe in lighting, no. Well, mostly he didn't believe in lighting because he wasn't used to having people in the stands, so...
Well, it is better lit than NXT pre-2.0, so...
That's true.
Dark.
Plus, I mean, depending on who the fans were, you might not want it lit. I don't know. There we go. All right.
Or there were more pink cardigan guys in the audience.
Well, if Jim Valley were here, Jim is the expert at watching the fans back in the 80s and 90s. Especially looking for like Dave Meltzer, Bruce Mitchell, you know, random women showing up with their boyfriends, that sort of thing.
Okay.
I mean, think about it. It's rare that you find a woman in the front row of a major wrestling show.
There is a woman in the front row there.
Is she there with a guy? I'm guessing.
She just point at something.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a man on one side of her and a man on the other side of her.
Well, she's probably like, there with one of them, I'm guessing.
Pink cardigan man.
A cardigan man. Well, yeah. Maybe she's there with cardigan man. I don't know. Why aren't they sitting together?
They're not.
There we go. All right. Yes, you need that extra level.
Heels are cheating.
Oh, here we go. Oh, well, I like Arn just deciding, oh, that's not enough. Let's stomp on him, too. And nobody cares about Shane Douglas in 1992.
Poor Shane Douglas.
The fans are happy that they got it. Look at the fans cheering that they got away with it.
Douglas in a great deal of pain.
Shane Douglas is in a great deal of pain. Good! All right, hot tag to Arn Anderson. There we go. Right, just in time for Shane to reverse the figure four. All right. Oh, boy. Okay, let's see. 10 minutes have gone by. It's just flown by.
It definitely feels like 10 minutes have gone by.
You're saying it hasn't just flown by? Okay, oh, they hit heads. Oh, you hate that. Oh, no.
Is that what really injures them? They should do this in more matches.
They're hitting heads?
Yes.
I think they do it in enough matches. At least in 92 they did.
And it's just a little bit quicker. This is not like the most exciting match ever.
Well, no. I don't think anything on this show is going to be the most exciting match ever. But it's been watchable so far.
Oh, is Michael Hayes begging off from the one person that hasn't actually been in the match yet?
Yeah, of course. Well, he's a bad guy. That's what Michael Hayes does when he's being a bad guy. He begs off. And then he gets slammed, and then he gets right up 1 second later. See? Referee Mike Adkins is having problems. For one thing, he looks like Snape in the Harry Potter films. But
there's like five people in the ring.
Oh, there we go. Oh, the referee's lost control. Oh, no. The Luthez press. There we go.
Wait,
yes, Tom Brady with a Fez press. He pinned Michael Hayes with a Fez press.
Poor Michael Hayes. He had to take the pin.
Michael Hayes is getting pinned.
There is a very excited old person in the audience there with a very...
He's like, yes, thank God, I've finally seen Johnny Gunn win a match. That Michael Hayes got his. Yeah, it also looks like a bunch of people who are from the Bill Swirsky Superfans Da Bear sketch on Saturday Night Live. There.
Yes, it does.
Luthez Press. That's right. Austin did it better. I'm sorry. Although Tom Brady's pretty good. The crowd is not happy that Johnny Gunn won a match. Oh, Missy Hyatt is still standing by, folks.
That Michael Hayes lost, too. And it's Missy Hyatt again.
Hi, Missy. I'm still outside Rick Rude's locker room. And I can't get in. Have you tried turning the doorknob, Missy? Mr. Harley Race.
Wow, Harley Race bleached his hair there.
Harley, you look so handsome. What are you doing here? Well, I'm here to watch the wrestling show, Missy. You know, wrestling show? How rude. Come on, let's see if it'll let you in. Oh, that's so rude. Oh, my gosh.
First time Missy Hyatt's never been invited into a locker room.
Ugh.
Tony
Schiavone.
Tony.
Poor Missy Hyatt.
Okay, Missy Hyatt, thank you
very much. Poor young Tony Schiavone.
Hey, no,
he is not outraged about how they just treated Missy.
No, he's not. This isn't Britt Baker, though. This is Missy Hyatt. Tony, something is going on. Something is up.
Missy Hyatt age appropriate for Tony Schiavone?
Yeah. I know. Well, you think Missy's too old for Tony? I don't think so.
I think Britt Baker is young enough to be his daughter.
Probably.
I'm pretty sure I can figure this out, man.
All right, here we go. One fall, 20-minute time limit. Let's see. Cincinnati, Ohio's favorite son, Brian Pillman Sr. Oh, they have a stage set up like back there somewhere.
Brian Pillman is not excited to be here.
He's a bad guy. This is how he thinks bad guys act.
Okay.
See, he as a good guy, he was all enthusiastic and he jogged towards the ring and slapped hands and like. Now, you know, no, bad guys are assholes. I just gotta you know, be an asshole.
Oh God, Tony Schiavone is the same age as my mother.
Congratulations.
Tony Schiavone will be having a birthday on November 7th, Pat.
So oh, my goodness. Happy birthday. So this is like, that's like 2 weeks after this episode airs.
That's
like,
right.
Like just in time for part three with this Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal match. Just in time for the third hour. We'll have to remember that. And there he is, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
November 7th is. That's a Sunday.
That's a Sunday. Yes, the show comes out on Sunday. On the feed, yeah.
You're going to have to do like a Tony Schiavone birthday special.
Well, yeah. Well, it is going to be special. He's going to be here for, he's going to be in the arena for Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal. The first one. Yay.
Yeah. So he's 34 years older than Britt Baker. So I think Missy Hyatt is more age appropriate for him.
Okay. Well, geez, let's see. any woman. Okay. So I'm 51. If I was 34 years older than a woman, she'd be 17. So this is. pass.
Yeah, I'm 42. We're just pass, not going to.
I'm not Elvis. I'm not Jimmy Page. Okay, leave me alone. All right, there we go. All right, so here it is, Ricky Steamboat and Brian Pillman.
Jesus.
What's that?
Okay. If someone was 34 years younger than me, they would be 8.
Yeah. So, well, okay. Anyway.
We're not doing that.
We're not doing that. No, you've never even had kids, so.
Nope. That's not happening, and I'm not adopting them.
Okay, there you go. Hey, you know, if you don't want kids, don't have kids. I'm 100% in favor of that, by the way. All right, here we go.
I'm too old to have children, Pat.
Okay. You can say that, sure. Actually, biologically, you're not. I'm just going to say that.
Medically, I'm not having children, though.
Okay, that's fine. Steamboat got rammed headfirst.
Like, run directly into the turnbuckle.
No, he got pushed off by Pillman. Pillman pushed off with his legs, and that the force of that shot Steamboat into the turnbuckle. Now Steamboat's playing possum.
Steamboat just laid down in the ring.
He was playing possum. He was tricking Pillman so he could get the armbar. Born in Hawaii, educated in Florida, now residing in Charlotte. Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, they said Ricky Steamboat was from somewhere, and I just thought, really? I didn't think so, but okay.
No, I mean, he's from Charlotte. I mean, that's where he spent most of his adult life.
You know, if Brian Pillman is going to be a morose heel, he should have, like, angrier tights or something.
He'd get there. Don't worry. He'll get there. Yeah, he's a heel.
Did he just turn heel the week before?
It feels that. Yeah. I think, yeah, he lost the light heavyweight title, and then he turned heel. Yeah.
I think he was selling his fingers before his fingers actually hurt.
Well, that's a pro. He wasn't if he didn't remember when his fingers were supposed to get hurt, so he sold them anyway. Yes. Yeah. I mean, but yeah. But there's really no such thing as a bad Ricky Steamboat match.
Have you already teamed with Steve Austin at this point?
Pillman? Actually, they've teamed with each other a couple times on television, but they're not the Hollywood Blondes yet. That would come about the start of 93.
So he hasn't yet had his real heel turn.
Well, he's a heel, but he's never, yeah. He would be teaming with Barry Windham once Windham, I'm spoiling something, but yeah.
Where he uses all of his super sad faces in matches.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he turned heel on Brad Armstrong at the Clash, I want to say. Yeah. But, you're wasting a good heel turn on Brad Armstrong, so.
Poor Brad Armstrong.
Yes, I know. I mean, everybody turns heel on the Armstrongs. It's just like something you do. It's like something you do if Sting's not around. If Sting's too busy getting somebody turning heel on him, you can turn heel on Brad Armstrong.
Yeah. Poor stupid Sting.
Yeah. Well, actually, technically Sting. Yeah. Technically, Jake never turned heel on Sting. Jake was a heel the whole time. So.
Poor stupid Sting.
But I mean, after like the fifth time the horse.
What's that? Ricky Steamboat just took a bump for like no reason.
No, his neck was over the turnbuckle, and Pillman snapped the turnbuckle, and that drove him back.
Okay,
you're missing all the subtleties of this.
Oh yeah, the stuff that's not playing.
The choke lift, yes, very nice. Very
back row.
Well, Pillman's really good too, by the way. Yeah. If you're Pillman Jr., you could do worse than watch a lot of your old man's matches, you know?
There's plenty worse that you could do.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, nope. Oh. This is the thing where he's teasing that his knee is hurt, which is what he did to Brad Armstrong before he,
turned heel.
Yeah, before he turned heel, yeah. Watch, you can do it again, I'll bet. Oh, my knee. Oh, ow, the pain. Oh, the pain. Oh, there we go. Yeah, got him. See, that's Pillman right there.
Well, he's pointing to his head there.
He's the smart one, yes. He's a smart one, like Eddie Murphy in that GIF, yeah. Mm-hmm. Smart. All right. Well, I like that he kept the Cincinnati Bengal tights, you know.
I don't know. I think I was just criticizing that a moment ago.
Really? I mean, there's nothing wrong with the. There's nothing wrong with the tights. Tights cost money, you know. Those tights aren't
making enough money to buy new tights.
This is WCW. Well, maybe not. Plus, Bill Watts was brought in to cut costs. He wasn't brought in to, He wasn't brought in to like pay wrestlers money. Yeah. The only wrestler who got a raise when Bill Watts was there was Cactus Jack And Mick Foley went to Bill. I'm sure you've read the story in Mick Foley's book. Mick went to Bill Watts and said, cowboy, I mean, with the way I wrestle, I don't think my career is going to last that long. So can I please get a raise? And Bill Watts' response was, absolutely, Cactus. You're a sick son of a bitch, and I get off on that. Like, well, thanks, Bill. Thanks, boss.
This is not a very excitable crowd.
No, it's not. I don't know what they're waiting. They're waiting for blood, I think. Not enough blood.
Well, one woman in the crowd does have a camera now.
Oh, she's good. Yeah, get some pictures in. Yeah, absolutely. There we go. You want to take pictures, yes.
That guy is moderately excited.
Yeah, some people seem to be happy. But, I mean, they're there to see they're there for the spinning of the wheel and the making of the deal, you know? There's a guy in the front row who looks kind of like Bill Watts, yeah.
How are we going to get them all in that basement warehouse, though?
I don't know. I think that they're going to have the wheel on the stage and do it up there. All right, here we go.
Is Midget going to appear for that spot?
No. Midget's only for the movies.
Okay, why don't somebody get on our camera here?
It's, the midget gets paid scale, so you know we can't just have him out whenever we need him.
Oh dear God, Pat.
Well, I'm just telling you. Okay. Hey, there we go. All right. Nice belly to back suplex by Steamboat. Yeah, but I mean, this is a match, you know, I mean, unlike most Steamboat matches, and Steamboat and Pillman aren't really feuding with each other. I mean, later on, you'd have Pillman and Douglas feuding with Austin and Pillman, and that'd be great. But this is, you know, this is sort of working backwards. See, Steamboat was supposed to wrestle Steve Austin on this show, but that did not happen for various reasons, which maybe I should go into next week. Oh, yeah, Steamboat and Austin feuded for the TV title and then for the U.S. title. They were very good working together. They wrestled each other a lot.
That does not surprise me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't remember. I don't know how much you remember from 1992.
I don't, because I didn't really see WCW in 1992 because we did not have cable.
Because you were a 13-year-old girl, yes.
Yeah. And then there was that aspect of it.
Okay.
Kind of seemed like Steamboat could have just dropped Pillman on his back and laid on him and covered him there.
Well, yeah, but then you wouldn't have been able to do it twice, see?
No. Okay.
Plus, I mean, you're calling the match in the ring, you're making judgment calls as to what will get over and what's not, right?
But it's Philadelphia where the people are notoriously evil.
Yeah, well, unless you're, you know.
There's a lady yelling at Brian Pillman and then taking a picture of him.
Yeah. Well, you want to get a good angry face on Pillman before you shoot that.
Well, she's taking a picture of his ass at this point, quite frankly.
Oh, well, never mind then. It doesn't matter how angry he is. All right, Steamboat's fired up. Look.
Yep. This Steamboat put some effort into the trunks.
Oh, yeah. Those are nice trunks.
Unlike the last match where three people had white trunks and they were not all on the same team.
Well, you know, Steamboat knew Flair, and Flair knew Olivia Walker, and probably could have gotten some nice, you know, nice stuff made. Yeah. Oh no! Oh, the running knee. Beautifully done, though. Did very technically sound match. Also, you're forgetting that Bill Watts did not like moves off the top rope.
Oh yeah.
When he came in, he banned, you know, moves off the top rope because it was going to get heat when the heel went off the top rope and hit somebody.
And then
not knowing that fans had gotten used to wrestlers coming off the top rope.
Yeah.
So what you had was like they bring in Jushin Liger for a pay-per-view.
Oh dear God.
Jushin Liger wrestling at center stage and he can't come off the top rope and he's like, what the hell am I doing here?
And then ECW was born.
Yeah, ECW was born mostly out of the Philadelphia indie scene, but, you know, they succeeded off of the stupidity of WCW and WWF, who weren't giving wrestling fans, at least a certain type of wrestling fans, what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, was violence or simulated violence. Oh, no. Here comes Pillman.
Off the second rope.
Yay. Two. I mean, it's not like Paul Heyman didn't appreciate Pillman and Ricky Steamboat and those guys. Yeah. I mean, you can tell who Paul Heyman liked by who he brought into ECW once he got there. So.
Yeah.
There we go. Hey.
Could afford to bring into ECW.
Well, there was that. Yes. It wasn't his money though. It was Todd Gordon's money.
Some strange camera angles on this pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah, WCW directing. All right, Ricky Steamboat with the pin, folks. Oh, I mean, I did like a master class in insulting WCW director Keith Mitchell, who became TNA director Keith Mitchell, who had, like, family members writing in to complain via email about me making fun of him as a director with all the shots he missed on TNA pay-per-views. And somebody wrote to me, no, you don't understand. They don't tell the director what moves they're going to do and where they're going to do them. I'm like, no, really?
And the director has never watched a wrestling match before?
Well,
there's
is
there like a dearth of those available for viewing?
Yeah, well, on purpose? No, of course not. I mean, you know, you watch old WCW shows, you start to appreciate Kevin Dunn, which is really terrible. All right, let's go back. Teddy Long is your interview correspondent.
It was a really exciting segment.
He's in the locker room with the NWA champion and his entourage, who are all staring straight ahead into the camera. That's where they've been. They've been like sitting there for 20 minutes practicing staring into the camera. Jono, his friend Kensuke Sasaki, the New Japan's own Hiro Matsuda.
The pillow out of the shot or whatever that is up there.
Hiro Matsuda and the New Japan president. Hiro Matsuda is there because he speaks English. And Hiro Matsuda, who's the guy who speaks English, tell us right now who Mr. Chono will select for his special guest referee, for his referee, for the match with Rick Rude.
If it was a true Teddy Long thing, he'd be making a mixed tag match right now.
We're going to make an eight-man tag, playa.
Teddy Long is just going to select two of these people and then Rick Rude and some completely random person.
Well, Hiro Matsuda says that Chono has chosen as a referee the guy he brought with him to the building, Kensuke Sasaki.
So is that the one with the mullet then?
That's the guy in the blue warm-up suit, yeah.
Okay.
You've seen Kensuke Sasaki in WCW, or maybe you haven't. I don't know. He's an ally of Chono. Now, here's the thing. Back in September, Chono was defending the NWA title over in Japan against Steve Austin, and there was a botched pile driver move, which really effed up Masachono's neck. So Dave Meltzer goes on this rant after the show about how bad Chono's match with Rick Rude was. They're trying to protect Chono's neck for his entire title reign. That's why he's not doing so much in the match. And they had notice of this because like I pointed out, he was in Cleveland on Friday wrestling Bobby Eaton, and he didn't do a whole hell of a lot there. Yeah. Okay, so Terry Gordy's been suspended indefinitely, or quit, depending on how you want to call it. But Doc needs a bit. Dr. Death
was supposed to be in.
It's a tag title match. So Bill Watts has said, Steve Williams, please pick a partner for your tag team title match. Okay, that part makes sense.
And no, Steve Williams and Steve Williams in a match together.
Yes. Yes. Steve Williams picked Steve Williams. Okay. All right, so now Rick Rude is set to defend the U.S. title in a no-disqualification match against noted American Nikita Koloff. However, Bill Watts is complaining that the lawyers got involved, and Rude is allowed to have somebody else defend the title for him due to a judicial injunction. And I would love to read that injunction, by the way. The judge getting involved in a WCW pro wrestling match.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
The juice is barred from ringside. Okay, whatever.
So wait, who? Am I spoiling it if I read it off the Wikipedia page?
Because he's going to announce in about like 10 seconds. Vader is going to be there, and Vader is going to defend the U.S. title on Rude's behalf. And this is all to set up a feud with between Vader and Rick Rude that actually is supposed to get paid off in 1994. It would have, except Rude suffered a career-ending injury and ruined it. So,
except for up until this point in the show, Missy Hyatt was trying to something figure out Rick Rude and his two matches.
Because they hadn't bothered figuring out what they were going to do, so they hadn't bothered.
Okay. What they were going to do. I have a commercial now, aren't I special?
Okay, I'll hit pause then, because they're just we're getting the long shot of the arena here. I stopped it at 37:34, and we'll wait until Sarah's commercial gets done. Sarah, what do you have a commercial for?
It is a Ford pickup truck, so I am definitely not buying this item. Oh wait, it's a Ram pickup truck. So
was there any chance of you buying a Ram pickup truck anyway?
No, I drive a compact car, Pat.
My
father has a pickup truck, but he knows how to drive a pickup truck. So,
that's good. Does your dad haul lots of stuff?
He works as a handyman, so he hauls enough stuff.
I'm okay with that then. He's allowed to drive a pickup truck.
Yeah.
I think it's a waste of time if you're not actually hauling stuff in your truck.
Yeah, it's also a waste of gas if you're not actually hauling stuff in your truck.
Well,
most of the ones around here are good old boys who drive 5 miles under the speed limit. Very annoying. Okay, so I have 37:29.
Okay, so go ahead. Hit play. 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004. Okay, I'll hit play and we'll be close enough. All right. Sorry, everybody. Sorry, everybody. Comcast screwed over Sarah on our Peacock, so. One fall, 30-minute time, U.S. title. And there he is, noted good guy, Nikita Koloff. Yep. No disqualifications.
So wait, what was Nikita Koloff's real name?
Dog
or something?
No, it's something, hold on. I will pull it up. He's from North Carolina, by the way.
Nelson! Okay, did not expect that.
Didn't expect him to be named Nelson?
I would have pegged him as a dog, but that's me.
A dog?
Doug. Douglas.
Yeah, no, Doug.
Jesus.
Doug Koloff would have, no, I don't think that would have worked.
Would have really lit the screens on fire there.
Well, I mean, the tremendous job he did with that Russian accent all those years, it really.
And it's mustacheless ravishing Rick Rude.
Yes, he shaved the mustache for the occasion. That's right. Yes, oh, he's leading Vader to the ring.
Harley Race to get to the ring with him.
Yeah. Yeah. He was Nikita was known as Scott Simpson, but his real name is Nelson Scott Simpson. So. And everybody calls him Nikita anyway. So at this point, because that's how wrestling works.
Now, was that the one that Wade Keller used to watch get his hair cut?
That's Boris Zukov, aka Nelson. Yeah. I can understand where you.
I knew it was somebody from Eastern Europe somehow.
I don't think his wife shaved his back, though, Boris Zukov, but that's another story. Actually, Nikita Koloff, although he lived in, North Carolina.
He has a Rick Rude t-shirt.
Okay, there you go. Well, they have.
WCW made t-shirts because it doesn't seem like they're capitalizing on the t-shirt market here.
WCW made t-shirts, but all WCW t-shirts were awful.
Okay.
What is Ole Anderson doing at ringside?
That would explain why no one is wearing t-shirts in this crowd.
I mean, I think you see a couple of Sting t-shirts, but that's about it.
I definitely see the guy in the pink blazer there.
Yeah, all right. Ole Anderson says that. Nobody can be at ringside for. Okay. Now, Rude has to leave. Yeah. I understand that Rude has to leave, but Harley has to leave too? Oh, my goodness. Wait, so Jim Ross is...
So Vader is defending Rick Rude's title here.
Yes, now you get it. Okay. But Vader can't have anybody at ringside. And here's the other question. How on earth can, which Jim Ross asked, how can Harley Race be an objective referee for this match when Rick just hired Harley and Vader to defend the U.S. title for him? Well, the answer is, of course, he can't, but that's another story. Jesse's answer is it's called politics. Okay, thank you, Jesse. I mean, it's not a bad answer, but, you know, sort of a non-sequitur.
No, it's okay. Nick Patrick, who Jericho didn't like to have as his referee because he was taller than Jericho.
Well, that's valid. Former, Jim and I actually found a bonus match from Southeastern Wrestling where Nick Patrick was a wrestler, tag teaming with Brickhouse Brown. So that was amazing.
If only I remembered who Brickhouse Brown was.
Brickhouse sadly is no longer with us. So. Neither is Vader. Vader is a. Yeah, this is back when Vader was off. Vader with a big time right hand. And this indeed will be. The reason Vader was awesome was because he was being pushed and he really didn't have to sell much for anybody.
But he did not have the giant ram's head here.
No, he did not. No, that was. Yeah, I think that was. I think New Japan represents that. Yeah.
I don't understand the Vader mask, though.
Well, I mean that's because they took the big mask away. He had a full mask, and for some reason that it got taken away from him. I think with the headdress, when they took away the headdress. So. I don't know. Yeah, I don't understand that either. I mean, he's a legit. This is the point where he's a legit big scary dude, and not. Just like a guy about to tip over from being overweight, which is what he'd become later. Wow.
So is Vader's kid still a wrestler?
If he is, I haven't heard anything, which is fine. I mean, it's not like he's in NXT or in AEW or anything.
Snyder's kid is in NXT, and not Braun Breaker, Vaughn somebody.
Vaughn, whatever the frick his name is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Let's see, Von Hammer.
Did Keith Pulloff still know the citizen, according to Jesse Ventura?
Well, I think he is. Well, he was born in Minnesota, so I don't see how that's.
Also, hadn't we made up with Mikhail Gorbachev at this point in time?
92. Soviet Union's over. Yeah. Well, that's why he's dressed in the Lithuanian colors and not in the hammer and sickle. See.
Okay. So, weren't we off to Boris Yeltsin or something?
Well, even though I booked Nikolai Volkov when I was running an indie company, and he always showed up with either the Russian gear or like the gear with the American and Soviet flags together,
Yep.
Because you don't want to give up tights that fit, That'd be dumb.
And Keita Koloff seems like he would have had a full head of hair.
He did it. Well, he did have hair, but he was more of a badass with the bald head. So he went to that look and. Yeah, I guess when you go to that balding look, sometimes it doesn't grow back as well. So
I wouldn't know.
Nikita was big and scary back in the, back in the late 80s, the mid to late 80s. And then
having him in the ring with someone who's even bigger than him.
Right. That's a problem. Yeah. And then he took time off when his wife died of cancer and he came back. He wasn't as bulky. And he got back into shape, but he's more like the guy you see now instead of like this big roided up Goldberg type guy,
mm-hmm.
which is what he was.
Things aren't going quite right.
Back in the 80s, you had this big guy. And people thought he was a Russian for some reason. Well, because he was the nephew of Ivan Koloff, a known Russian who was also from North Carolina. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
face paint.
Right. And he suffered a career-ending injury from Vader against Vader. I want to say like about 2 or 3 weeks after this match, at a TV taping. I mean, he tore up.
Wait,
I mean,
Jesse Ventura and Jim Ross are that close to the ring?
Yes, that's how close guys used to
be. WCW announce table wasn't destroyed at every WCW event.
I know. Well, Eric Bischoff was the guy.
Eric Bischoff was the guy who moved the
announce tables back up on the stage when Nitro started.
Unlike the Raw announce table, which is like 15 feet away from the ring and somehow comes into play in 3 matches on every episode of Raw.
Exactly. Well, because the episodes are 3 hours.
And Vader there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's how the setup used to be. Yes. And they used to have they used to have not that much space at ringside because, well, you want to pack in as many people as possible. You don't want to leave all that space at ringside. And you also have Bill Watts, who didn't believe that,
the match should stay in the ring?
No, Bill Watts believed that you just shouldn't have the blue mats on the outside because, it made the wrestlers look like sissies to be fighting on the blue mats.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, wrestlers would be tempted to take bumps on the floor. If you just have the concrete floor there, they're not going to take as many dumb bumps, unless you have Mick Foley there, in which case...
Mick Foley destroyed all of those rules.
Yes, he did.
This is still a weird camera angle.
For which Bill Watts paid him, so give him a raise. So. Yeah, but Vader was another guy that Bill Watts liked, obviously.
Still a weird camera angle, Pat.
Well, that was a major camera angle back in the day.
Then we moved to a different camera angle immediately.
All right. Yeah, Vader wants a rematch with Ron Simmons for that WCW title. And just Jim Ross says, either Ron Simmons or the Barbarian, depending on who wins the title match. Okay. Okay. Hey. Van Vader with those clubbing right hands. Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah, Vader's not going to sell that crap. Come on. There we go. Oh, geez. What was that? I think he was trying. I mean, something that looked like a choke slam, except it's more painful because it looked like he dropped him on his shoulder.
Oh, maybe he's taking notes from the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, well, hey, the Ultimate Warrior and Vader feuded for a while. For like 3 weeks until Warrior up and quit for some reason. I don't know. That sounds like the sort of thing Vince would come up with. Yeah, make him work, Vader.
Yeah. Still a strange camera angle.
Yes, it is. It's WCW.
I know, but still.
The answer for most any question you have is it's WCW. It's still months until Bill Watts gets fired, and then it's months from there until they
Are looking in a completely different direction. They're waving at other fans.
They're looking at Jim Ross and Jesse Ventura, and maybe they're like seeing other fans. Hey, is that Fred?
Yeah, they're waving to people.
Hey, is that Dave Meltzer and Bruce Mitchell over there?
Randy Orton is watching this right now going, rest hold.
Yeah. Randy's taking notes, man. Dad, I'm watching the Vader match here. Okay. There we go. Why are we picking on Randy Orton? I don't think he even has a big...
It's fun to pick on Randy Orton. Somebody's got to do it bad.
I mean, geez, you know. The man nearly died. I mean, give him a break.
Did he?
Yeah, when he tried to kill himself, yeah.
I don't remember this.
That's okay. They didn't exactly advertise it on TV, so...
Was this a recent thing, or is this
2005.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, Vader just snapped it off. Yeah, they just botched some sort of move there. Vader refused to... And Jim Ross basically says Vader refused to go up for that move, which is... Yeah, pretty much. All right, let's see you suplex him. Come on, Nikita. You can do this. Wow.
That would have hurt my back. And
yeah, no kidding.
I would have just rolled out onto the floor and been like,
me out. Yeah, I know. My back hurts from carrying a 6-month-old baby. So yeah, I don't think I would be. I don't think I'd be a good candidate for this anymore.
Yeah.
But I mean, I obviously wouldn't be a main event wrestler at 51 unless I was in the WWE. So yeah. All right.
Do you get to just come back and just wait?
Yeah, I must. Here we go. Oh yeah,
Goldberg, Brock Lesnar. Right, Brock Lesnar still 40.
Oh God, he's older than that by now, isn't he?
It seems like it. He
might be in his 40s. That would make more sense. He's probably in his 40s.
Oh, he's 44. He's a mere 2 years older than me. Jeez.
Yeah. Okay. So, and he's younger than his wife.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! There you go. Yay.
Right. It doesn't say how old Sable is.
Jesus. Well, she's...
Wait, yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
All right, she's 54. It's a 10-year age difference.
Good for her. She keeps in shape. She uses one-a-day vitamins. I don't know. Ah, here we go. Up and over. Nice move by Nikita. Nice move by Vader getting up and over for that, by the way.
Boy, Vader has moved the barricade there in front of that lady, too.
Yeah, you say barricade. It's a bunch of bike racks chained together, for one thing. And secondly, it's 450 pounds. Of course, he's going to move the barricade.
You just wait until I call it the WCW Universe, Pat. Talk about this championship opportunity. Wait, are we allowed to call it a championship? Have they come up with a new word for championship yet?
WCW? No, they haven't. No, but they were working for TBS. Jim Ross couldn't call anything a foreign object. For years, Jim Ross was calling. Oh, he broke out the international object there, just to make fun of the TBS people.
All right, now the crowd is engaged.
Oh, there we go.
Well, at least those two people in the crowd are engaged.
Hey, Hat Guy's happy.
Dan Hardigan Man has stood up.
All right, there we go. Oh, so hurt himself. No, clotheslining a steel post doesn't hurt at all. Jeez.
If I was Nikita Koloff, I'd be getting something under the ring right now.
What? This is 1992, and this is WCW. It's not like they keep random stuff under the ring for no reason.
Well, how did WWE learn that then, Pat?
They needed a place to hide the stuff for the hardcore matches. So, you know, instead of having the wrestlers bring them to the ring, which was time consuming, they just kept everything under the ring.
Unlike that time that Raven used to push a shopping cart full of things to the ring.
Yeah, exactly.
And he had that figured out.
Raven had been doing the hardcore stuff for a while, so he knew. And Raven is actually in WCW at this point, although he's called Scotty Flamingo.
He did do that dancing thing that people were impressed with.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, Nikita Koloff's not getting up from that, Sarah.
It took that long to put Nikita Koloff down.
Nikita Koloff's a former U.S. champion. How dare you?
Okay. Well, he was a pretend Russian or Lithuanian.
Fader time. Stinger.
That's crooked.
Yes. 450 pounds of big, smelly, big Van Vader.
Yeah. So Vader, did Rick Reed and Harley Race get to come out and celebrate with him, or?
No, they're saving that for later. Those fans are really upset. That woman's cringing about Nikita running into the post, probably because of how dumb it was. But yeah. Nikita Koloff gets slammed in the mat. Let's see this ad for before we stop. Let's see this ad for Starrcade 92 Battle Bowl. Jim and I, which you can watch it on our, you can watch along on our Patreon, because that's when we reviewed it like 6 years ago. World Championship Wrestling had Battle Bowl. Yes. What could be better than Battle Bowl?
All right, I have a commercial again for 18 more seconds.
Okay, well after that you can watch the commercial for Battle Bowl.
Something involving a cat, which I don't have a cat, and I'm not really a fan of cats.
I have cats. We have cats. Not that I would care if, you know.
We have birds outside. That's enough pets for us.
Well, we have birds outside, too. The cats love to watch them. Okay, now, after the commercial for Starrcade, you can hit stop on this episode, which I have done at 53 minutes and 58 seconds, which is where we'll leave it for next week. Yes.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through.
For over 10 years, Shane Hurricane Helms has been a pioneer in the podcast game. And now, the Creative Control Network proudly brings to you the record-breaking, history-making, longest-reigning, most entertaining cruiserweight champion of all time, Shane Hurricane Helms and the Highway to Helms podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever your favorite podcast may be, you'll find me, Shane Hurricane Helms. And if you don't know, Google me. Biatch!
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
Boy, do we have stuff for next week. Well, we actually don't have that much for next week. But I can tell you, we finally have that big tag team title match, plus one of the big storylines of the fall of 92 for WCW begins at that point. And it's going to be very exciting. You know, the match we talked about, though, Sarah, the match we talked about, which is Dustin Rhodes and Barry Windham defending the tag team titles against Dr. Death Williams and Stunning Steve Austin. That match will be on hour two of this show next week. That'll be Halloween Havoc, and it'll go up on Halloween Day. Isn't that great?
Oh, that's lovely, Pat.
Are you enjoying the Starrcade commercial?
I pressed pause on the Starrcade commercial.
You can watch the Starrcade commercial here.
For Battle Bowl?
Yeah, you can watch. Yeah, because we're stopping it after the Starrcade commercial. I don't want anybody to miss the Starrcade commercial. Okay.
Not a very exciting commercial.
Well, wasn't a very exciting pay-per-view, but that's another story.
Jesse Ventura should have put the mask back on.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's where we are. So for the record, let's see. Feel free to. What's the part where I'm supposed to? Oh, geez, I didn't write this part down. Anyway, please feel free to visit us on Twitter. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. Sarah is at Esoteric Sarah. If you don't know how to spell esoteric, look it up. I don't have all day. Jim is at Jim Valley. And go ahead and leave reviews for us, a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever your pods are cast. I'll try to talk. Sarah and I are going to do something for Patreon, and I'll try to see if she wants to come back next week, or I'll find somebody else. It'll work out either way. I know Sarah's a very busy woman. And, of course, if you would like to know more about Ricky Steamboat, Brian Pillman, Johnny Gunn, Michael P.S. Hayes, or for that matter, Harley Race, feel free to visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or The Wrestling Observer, or go download your local library app because they're all in books. Sarah, do you remember the line that Jim says here?
The same way back time, same playback channel.
Yes, that next week, same way back time, same playback channel. We'll be back again. Of course, patreon.com/waybackplayback, facebook.com/waybackplaybackpodcast. Just write to us if you need anything or if you have any questions or that sort of thing. Sarah, have you enjoyed this hour?
Lovely, Pat.
Okay, well, that's enthusiasm for you folks. And thank you. I hope everybody has a great weekend and a great week now that we've recovered from the big wrestling show in Saudi Arabia. So until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Oh, am I supposed to say that to you?
Yeah, you can say that. Well, no. Let's see. We're good. Let me stop recording here.